right, we'll pray and then we'll jump into this lesson on tonight's training school. Almighty God, we just acknowledge you again as we present ourselves to you for another session of training so that we can walk in truth. We just ask you to just continue to lead us as always. And Lord, we bless you for that. We thank you for our Savior, as always, Yehoshua, who you have sent to be a perfect example for all of us. And we thank you for his obedience to your will, Father. In the name, in his name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, what I want to do is to deal with a topic that I'm going to most likely, if y'all says the same, most likely I'll write about it. I'll write about it, but I'm going to teach on it first, so that we can have, you know, a clear understanding of the topic. When you hear people that use the word provoke, it is misunderstood. And so what I mean by it's misunderstood, because it gives you the impression as if the parent is doing certain things to provoke that child to wrath, you know, from a teasing point of view or mistreatment and different things like that. Well, that has a certain perspective associated with it. It is a treatment. It is a mistreatment. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we always look at things from Yah's perspective. And when we see it from his perspective, then we'll understand it in its true meaning. You know, we'll understand what provoke means in its true meaning. And so we're going to take a look at that on tonight, and to get a clearer understanding of that. So we'll start in Ephesians chapter 6. This is a verse that's commonly used to discuss this topic, and so we want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll just start at verse 1, Ephesians 6, verse 1, and then from there we will move around a little bit, but then we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 6, okay? We'll come back around to Ephesians chapter 6, okay? So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and remember we're dealing with the word provoke here, which is verse 4. But again, we'll start at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, in Jehovah. Obey your parents in Jehovah." Then you see a colon there. Now, the colon lets us know that whatever is after that colon is connected to what's before it, to give us an understanding of why we should obey our parents, okay, in Jehovah, okay? Again, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in Jehovah, for this is right." For this is right, okay? Now, when you look at the word right, we want to define that word so that we can understand it. It says, "For it is equitable." It is equitable. By implication, innocent, holy. So children, obey your parents and your home, for this is holy. This is wholesome, okay? This is meek, this is just. And then it says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, okay? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, when you look at how this starts out, it is given instructions to the child, and then it goes to dealing with the parent. It says, and ye fathers, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke. Now, that's the word we want to deal with. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, we see there's a colon there, which gives us an explanation to this issue of provoking the children to wrath. It says, but bring them up in the nurture. When you look at the word nurture, we just define the word nurture. It says, but bring them up in the nurture here, and it says chastening or instruction. Bring them up in the instructions, okay, nurture instructions. Remember what the scripture said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. He chastens, okay? Disciplinary correction, okay? And we'll go there and look at that, but I just want to deal with this for now, okay? I want to look at two definitions now. So we look at nurture, so it means disciplinary correction. Then it says admonition, which means mild reproof or warning. It says now when you deal with the child, you do it in a way to where it's instructions associated with, okay? Nurture, instructions. And then when you look at admonition, it means by implication a mild rebuke or warning. Okay, so again, it says, when you look at verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of Jehovah. Now, when you look at the word, and I'm just gonna search it and then come back. I'm gonna be lazy today. Now, when you look at these words that's in association with it, we'll look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. You can turn that if you want to, but this is just to add to what the scripture is saying. And everyone, make sure that you put your phones on mute, okay?
Pastor.
Now, yes, ma'am.
Is start meeting working?
Is what?
Is start meeting working?
Yeah, but we have the video cam. Is that what the problem is?
I don't know. I don't see anything.
Okay, your video cam.
Where they can see you?
Yeah, where they can actually see the video.
See a video of you or your computer? I usually just see your computer.
Yeah, just the computer. Do you see the computer?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay.
Oh, that's what you
were going to
see.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Is it open already?
Yes. Right here. I got to pay attention so I can do that myself. Y'all got me so spoiled, I don't pay attention. Okay, is Sharon now?
Okay, we got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, I'm spoiled, too, because I'm used to looking at what you're doing.
and I like for y'all to see what I'm doing, okay? So as we deal, back to Hebrews chapter 4, y'all, this is what I know about, you know, our ministry. We don't cut about recording. We just relax, you know. It ain't all this kind of stuff you be concerned about. We just want to make sure you understand. Now, when you look at Hebrews chapter 12, we're dealing with the word chastening, and we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, now as you look at verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, And I'm just starting at verse 5. You can read verse 1 through 4 for the sake of the time. Verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. It says, my son, despise not the chastening. Now, when you look at the chastening, it means instruction, nurture. Now, remember what Ephesians 6 says. It says nurture, so this is the same word, okay, in a nutshell. And so it says tutorage. Look at the definition when it says if you endure chastening, it means tutorage. It means education or training by implication, disciplinary action, instruction. So it says now, if you endure chastening, okay, if you endure chastening, whereof all are partakers, Verse 5, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, Jehovah, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? Colon here in verse 5, so it lets us know that it connects verse 6 and 7 and 8. We'll deal with verse 6, 7, and 8. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he corrects. So when we understand this correction or this tutorage, these instructions, it is manifested that the person loves an individual who they correct. Okay? Because he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or he corrects. Then when you look at the next word in verse 6, it says, I always say this word kind of funny, y'all. It's scourge. So what he says in verse 6, he says, and scourges everyone, every son whom he receiveth. So you look at scourging, it means to flog. Now we're going to deal with different definitions associated that. It means to flog, means to whip, a whip. Okay, so when a person is flogging, it lets you know that these things are associated with it, so it means a whip. So it lets you know that flogging has something to do with whipping in one fashion or another. Even the scripture points out that, you know, in a nutshell, that if you whip them, they won't die. Especially when you look at it from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, we just moving around, and we're going to come back to these verses. I'm just showing you the connections now. Proverbs 13, Proverbs 13, verse 24 said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him be time or many times. There's always instructions and things that goes on, and that's an act of love. When we're being corrected, just like, a lot of times I've gotten on different people at the church for one reason or another. And so it is for us to understand when it comes down to the scripture that correction, even when a rod is used or an item that's used to correct that child with, that is something that is shown from a perspective of love. So Yah said, all those who I love, I correct. I give instruction. I chasten them. I have disciplinary actions for everyone that I love. Proverbs 13, verse 24 again says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him be time. When you love someone, you correct him. My girl, I always tease them every time I get to this point. I'll be like, okay, when I used to use the rod, what did I call it? And they always said, yeah, Dad, you always taught us that those were lovely. That when you were doing it, you wasn't doing it because you hated us, but you was putting the rod on us because it was love. So they learned to realize that every time I would use a rod to correct them, that I was displaying love. So they never associated the rod with punishment or hate. They just said, that is lovely. And so, although they would have tears and different things coming down the face and things like that, They never connected it with, man, he's doing this because he hates me. It was always a correction, and I put it instilled it in their mind that this correction is from a perspective of love. That if I didn't love you, I wouldn't correct you. Okay? So as we look at these different words now, we go back to Hebrews chapter 12 now, and we'll look at verse 6, because that's why we went to Proverbs now, to show you that it is association with an actual whip or a rod. So verse 6, Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord, for whom Jehovah loveth, he chasteneth, he corrects, and scourges it. In other words, it's a form of a whip. Yah disciplines us as his children, every son whom he receiveth. Then it says, verse 7, if you endure that now, if you endure chastening, Yah dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, he's saying every good father corrects their child. Every good father does that. But then he lets us know a biblical principle or a scriptural principle, because we're trying to get away from the word biblical or Bible and call the scriptures what the scriptures call itself, or what the apostles call it, that scriptures. It's okay if you said Bible or biblical. I'll say that every now and then, but I'm just making an effort to call the scriptures what the apostles called it. Okay? Now, and the prophets, all those called it, Moses and all, you know, what they call it. Now, verse 8 explains the principle now, says, verse 7 says, now, if you're corrected, if you're disciplined, then that father is dealing with you from a perspective of love. But then it turns around in verse 8 says, but if you without the discipline, if you have a parent, Yah being the primary parent, if you have a father now who doesn't correct the child, then the scripture manifests a principle, a scriptural principle, a principle. But if he be without correction, discipline, whereof all are partakers, if you are a child, everyone is supposed to be disciplined. But if you're without that, then what it says is then ye are bastards and not sons. Now, when you look at the word bastards according to the scriptures now, it says ye are bastards in verse 8. It means illegitimate son. In other words, you're illegitimate. And so it says if you're without that chastisement and chastening, then that's what you're like. Y'all say, I don't correct children that are not mine. And so in a nutshell, the way that we're supposed to look at things, that if we don't discipline the children, then what we are really saying from a scriptural perspective, when you look at scriptural principles, is we're saying that I'm not taking responsibility for that child. I'm not taking responsibility. Okay? Now, as we continue to read on now, we'll go back to our original text of Ephesians chapter 6. And we want to understand this provoke now. Now, go back to verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in your home. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. Okay? We can go there, but I'm not. You just know it's the first commandment of promise, okay? Obey thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I say on promise, but with promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Remember, let's deal with the word nurture again. Bring them up in the nurture, which is the same meaning as chastening. You can see it in the definition. It means tutorage, education, or training. By implication, disciplinary correction, instruction. So that's what nurture means. Admonition means warning. You rebuke them. You warn them. You know, when things are out of order, when things are not being when they're out of order from a disciplinary action point of view, it is our responsibility to now put them order, because in not doing so, it lets us know that something else is taking place. So I'm going to put it like this without giving just the answer right now, because I want you to see it in Scripture. If we don't discipline the children, then we are doing something else. In other words, there is teaching going on one way or the other. If I don't nurture and admonition a child, then I am teaching that child something else. We're teaching whether we're nurturing an admonition or not. Now, in order for us to understand what this provoke means, because you have people that say, okay, you want to make sure you don't provoke the children to anger. Why are you always teasing the children? Let's see what the scripture means by provoke. Because we have our mindset of what provoke is, but we want to look at provoke from a perspective of the scripture to understand what it really is to provoke a child to wrath. Okay? Now, in order to do that, I'm just showing you how I study, and I want to be real transparent with you. There's a lot of material out there that will help you, and I'm just going to show you some things that's easy. You know, these scriptures, I have a lot of them memorized, but at the same time, I want to go and show you that if you have the right, you know, material, you can be able to look these things up and be able to be able to understand it. So I'm letting you see it from my computer. I have a Bible that's on the computer, and I have certain technologies with my Bible that I can do these kind of research. So all I've done is just type in the word provoke in the search engine of my Bible, and it pulls up everywhere in the scripture where the word provoke is. It makes it easy. You can do the same thing with the technology on your phone. You can pull up, if you have technology on your phone, your iPads, your tablets, whatever you may use, your computers, and if you have some form of a Bible on it, you can go on your search engine and just type in the word provoke, and it's going to show you all the scriptures that I'm looking at. Okay? So I'm going to teach you how to study and to make it easier to study. So we're looking at now from my Bible that's on the computer that everyone that has, you know, some form of technology that's connected to us, you know, via the internet, and able to look at this, you're seeing from my Bible all the scriptures that my Bible shows, or the scriptures show that the word provoke is associated with. The first place we see the word provoke is in Exodus. That EX just means Exodus. That NU is numbers. That DE is Deuteronomy.
Huh?
You
said go to the search engine.
Yeah, just go to the search engine of your Bible and click on it. Is first mentioned. So what is the rule of first mission? I'm asking the question, and then I'm going to answer the question. There is a law of first mission, and what that means is when a word is mentioned in the scripture, that word has to stay in harmony throughout the scripture, meaning that I can't define it when I first read it and then turn around and call it something else later on. I have to stay within the vein or precept upon precept, line upon line, with that same definitional meaning. So, when we look at that from that perspective, Exodus 23, verse 21, it says, beware of him and obey his voice. We know that's talking about Yah. Without going up to verse 1 and reading all the way down, we know this is talking about Yah. So it says, be aware of him. When you look at the word beware, when you look at the word beware, it means to protect. It means to guard. Save, watchman. So the word beware lets us know to put a hedge about. So when we beware of him, we're putting a hedge about ourselves in reference to him. So verse 21 says, beware of him and obey his voice. So when you say when it says obey his voice, what does that tell us? If I say you obey my voice, what am I saying to you? Say what everyone can hear you. When I say it, what does that mean to you? No, if I ask you to obey me, what am I saying to you? To listen, what else? Give me some other words.
I'm thinking about obeying these actions.
Follow instructions. I just wanted to make sure we was all on the same page. So when you look at the word beware, put a hedge about ourselves and obey him. Follow his instruction. Why? Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgression, our transgression. For my name is in him. Okay? For my name is in him. And you go back up, and we know everything that deals with these instructions is associated with Yah. Now, let's look at the next one, Numbers. Numbers 14. Let's go back to Exodus, and we'll look at the definition of the word provoke. The word provoke means, it means to triple, as in bitter, okay, greed. Okay, so when you look at these different words, when we're provoked, we're vexed, we're grieved, we become bitter. So now we associate that, we have an association with the word provoke. Now this definition has to be in harmony throughout the scripture. So now when we hear the word provoke from now on, we're hearing to vex, to make bitter, you know, all these different things. We'll deal with mainly vex, to make bitter. Okay, provoke, to grieve. Vex, to make bitter. Now, as we move now into these words again now, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. Numbers 14, verse 11, it said, Jehovah said unto Moses, Numbers 14, verse 11. Okay, remember, if you have technology, just type it, type of provoking a search engine, and you can move throughout these scriptures as quickly as I'm doing, because I'm going to take you kind of a little bit fast since there are quite a few, but I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just giving you examples to go back. Numbers 14, verse 11 says now, and Jehovah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Provoke now means to vex, to make bitter. What was the other one that I used? To grieve. Help me with these definitions. It means to make bitter, to grieve, and to vex. So look at what Yah said, and Jehovah said unto Moses, how long will this people being Israel, our nation, provoke me? How long will they vex me? How long will they grieve me? How long will they make me bitter? What is the association? What is he associating that bitterness with? How long will they err? How long will it be error that they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among me, so we got to find out what error means. E-R-E. How long will it be? How long will it be error? When you look at error, it means without. Okay? It means not. How long will they not believe me? So, let me ask you a question now. If I turn around and say, why y'all don't believe me? What am I referring to? Something that I have said or instructed you on. If I instructed you on something, you turn around and you say, I don't believe that, then you are not believing what I say. So we are seeing a pattern here where Yah is associating him being vexed and his anger and him being grieved from a perspective of us always not doing what he has instructed us to do. Now, let's look at another one to see if the pattern stays. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 25. It says, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, in our promised land, and shall corrupt yourselves. Well, how is he saying corrupt ourselves? Let's look. And corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or a likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Jehovah thy Yah to provoke him to grieve, to vex. What was the other one? To make him bitter. To provoke him to anger. So we're seeing that his provoking is associated with us getting in the land, getting comfortable, and start to corrupt ourselves by doing the opposite of what he said. Y'all see these now? Let's look at another one to see if the pattern continues throughout the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 9, we're going to look at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18 said, and I fell down before Jehovah, as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights, and I did neither eat bread nor drink water, because of all your sins which ye have sinned, in doing wickedly in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. So what is this letting us know? Let's move around and just do more and see. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 9. I'm just showing you a pattern. This most likely will be the last one that I read. But you can see, as you can see, there are a lot of them. Matter of fact, if you look down the right side of my page, it just goes on and on and on and on. When you're seeing the word provoke throughout the scriptures, there's a lot of them. Okay? Now, 1 Kings 14, verse 9. I'm going to read one more in Isaiah, just to show you. Jeremiah. 1 Kings 14, verse 9. It says, But hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger. And hast cast me behind thy back. That's the idiom. For you have left my instructions. So it's like you took me and took your own thoughts and your own instructions, and it was like you just took me and just cast me on your back. So I don't want to lose you. Last one, and then we're going to move back to Ephesians chapter 6. Jeremiah, let's look at Jeremiah 44, verse 3. 44. Yes, Jeremiah 44, verse 3 says, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. So we're looking at the word provoke is always associated when we disobey Yah. Y'all seeing this? Now, we keep that same pattern, that same mindset throughout the scripture. So what does provoke give us an understanding of? That it has to do something with not obeying instructions. Okay? So you don't look at now provoke from an American point of view. We have to look at it according to a Yah point of view. And Yah says, when you don't obey me, then you provoke me. You make me bitter. You make me vexed. You make me, what was the other word? Bitter, vexed, grieved. When you don't obey me, that's what happens to me. Now, with that mindset, we go look at and see what happens with the child when the father provokes the child. Now, we'll go back now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now we're understanding what provoke means based upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and based upon 1 Peter, I believe, 1 and 20, where there's no private interpretation. So we can't come to our own conclusion on what this passage means, because now we've looked at scriptures to give us an understanding of what provoke is associated with, so that when we now get over here to Ephesians 6, we know exactly what it's talking about. Ephesians 6, now, verse 1, what does it start out saying? Children, obey your parents in Jehovah, for this is right. So that means that the child is required to be obedient, that must mean that the child is being instructed. Okay? Honor thy father and thy mother. How does the child show the honor or to esteem? When you look at the word honor, verse 2, it means to prize, to value, to revere. So a child shows reverence to the parent. When you go off to verse 1, an obedient child is a child who honors the parent. So if that child doesn't obey the parent, then that shows that that child is dishonoring that parent or doesn't revere the parent. Now, the scripture gives us understanding. It says the child is supposed to do this. Why? Verse 3, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. What well is it talking about? It says that it may be well. When you look at the word well, it means good. That it may be good with thee. And then it says, now it goes on to tell us, and thou mayest live long on the earth, because the instructions are valid from a perspective of life or well. It is now. Because when you look at a person from a perspective of long on the earth, then they associate that with just life and death, physical. But what I'm talking about long on the earth, because it says that it may be well with thee or good with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It's a twofold perspective. It lets me know that you know, you have a whole lot of people who live long on the earth, but it may not be well. I know some old crazy folks. You know, I'm crazy too, you know, and mine's kind of a good way. You know, so when you look at it from that perspective, it doesn't, you know, I don't want a person to feel, you know, I think about my sister here, you know, my nephew is gone. I don't want her to think that, okay, it must mean that I ain't instructed. No, it is not from those perspectives, but at the same time, it is a principle that lets us know the possibilities based upon our lack of instruction. You know, if things happen, you know, for whatever reason or another, we can give instruction. A child may not want to follow the instruction. But we're looking at this thing from biblical principles in order for us to understand how we should look at these scriptures and walk in obedience and understanding to these scriptures. So it says in verse 3, verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Revere them. Prize them. Have respect for the parents, that it may be good with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Yeah, you do have disobedient children that have been cut off from the earth, but at the same time, you can associate that with, okay, you can have a long living fool on the earth, and nothing goes right because they would never honor their parents. Then verse 4 says, now, and ye fathers, now speaking to the head of the household at the same time, it's a symbolism for a parent. Say, you fathers, because y'all always done things in order, so when it says fathers, it don't mean that mothers are not included. It just shows that y'all deal with the top down. So he's saying, if I'm talking to fathers, you better rest assured, I mean mothers too. So verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke. Let's look at the word. Let's define it. When we look at the word provoke, it means to anger alongside, to enrage. Okay? It means to enrage, anger, provoke to wrath. You continue on with the word as we go on and define it, continue defining that word. It says to be angry, wroth, is from the same perspective of vexed. The Old Testament and the New Testament, because you're looking at Hebrew and Greek, they may have variations of the meaning, but bottom line, it means the same thing. When you look at this word, it's supposed to mean vexed. It's supposed to, because that's what it is. When you vex y'all can do something about it. When someone has wrath, that means that it's more than just a feeling, but it pushed them into a certain direction when you see somebody operating wrath. So in order to understand this word provoke, this definition as far as its Greek meaning, because your New Testament has the Greek definition, your Old Testament has the Hebrew definition. Well, the Hebrew definitions are really what takes it back to closer to its original meaning, or define things in its original meaning. So although you have variations of this word, it really means one and the same. If someone in our nation, if one of the apostles was talking about this, instead of translating it over in English, it would have been the same thing as it was in the Old Testament. He would have said, don't vex the children. Don't grieve the children. Okay? Don't vex them. Don't grieve them. Would have been the same definition. So he says, and you fathers now, don't grieve your children. Don't vex them. Don't vex them. How would the father do that now? And ye fathers, provoke, vex, not your children, wrath, call them. But bring them up in nurture. What's nurture again? What's nurture? When you look at the word nurture, it means instruction, tutorage, education, or training. So it lets me know that when a child is vexed, it's because that child has no proper training. When that child is bitter, when that child is grieved, and you start to wonder, why the child is so bitter? Why the child is so grieved? Why the child is so vexed? It is because there is something that has gone on that has caused that individual to be to have a nature or to be developed in a way that it was not normal. There are experiences that the child has had that have put them in that position where they don't, there are some things that have taken place. And we have to understand what's going on when we're dealing with these different things. So that provoke now, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of Jehovah. It is letting us know that, and again, we have to balance it. My girls are not perfect. They haven't done everything perfect. But they made that decision on their own. It wasn't because there was no training and no nurturing there. So you have to be able to balance things. But I'm just giving you an understanding of the true meaning of that word. It lets us know that the majority of time when you see an unruly adult, someone that you can't tell, you can't tell nothing, they won't do nothing, they're always pushing and fighting and all these different things that's going on, you're dealing with somebody who has been provoked because they hadn't been trained. And guess what? Those type of natures can get on a child. And you'd be wondering, man, that child, just like they did. They may and I have never been around a dad or a mom in their life. But because of the nature that was established, and that father released that seed, and that mother carried that baby, there are some characteristics that are developed from the parents. And then we may be sitting around wondering, say, for instance, there's an adoption or whatever that has taken place, and we may be wondering, what is going on? I'm training and I'm nurturing, but there seems to be a struggle in one fashion or another where there are some characteristics that's associated with that child in this DNA that is going to take some nurturing and some training in order to redevelop that, because that nature now has been established from DNA or from a characteristic that comes from the parents. I kid you not. You can look at my grandchildren and you can see some things about them, and you look at them, you be like, boy, they did it just like their granddad. There are some things that I say, never knowing that my father even said them. But I've had nieces and nephews that would hear me say certain things, and they'd be like, "Oh, you said that just like Papa." They call my dad Papa. "Oh, you said that just like Papa." Well, I ain't never in my life heard Papa say that or my dad say that. But you know what? It's in my nature. There are certain things that I do that when people that was around my dad see me doing, just like, you know, I had to walk off one day because my older brother, they was asking him questions about our dad, and one of my daughters asked me, was like, "Hey, Uncle Melvin, was granddad one of those types that when you drive?" One of those types that when you drive, he always sits on the passenger side trying to tell you how to drive and complaining with every turn that you make and explaining to you how to do this and do that no matter how long you've been driving. He said, "Daddy was exactly like that." He said, "Matter of fact, Daddy was so bad about it, he reached upside the head even when I was grown. Sometimes he popped me upside my head because he didn't like how I was driving." And they were like, "Oh, Dad is the same way." I just had to walk off because I was like, okay, I didn't know my dad was like this, but yet here I am doing the exact same thing. It must be developed in my DNA or in my character, however you want to put it. There are certain things that I developed from my parents, and I picked it up just because I came from his seed and I was carried by my mother. I have some of that characteristic. And then nobody has to train me to have it. Okay? And so I wanted to show that side to let us know certain times when we are dealing with certain things, it is not necessarily that we're not nurturing and admonition. It is some things that's in that character that's going to take a little bit more training to deal with that character and to shape and develop that character, because it was there from the very beginning. What does the scripture say about mankind? All men have sinned or been classified as sinful because of the first man who sinned, Adam. We all came into this world sinning. That's why the first thing a child want to do is something rebellious, because that is in that child's nature from the first man, Adam. So every child that hits planet Earth, every child that comes through the womb, their first responsibility or their first characteristic is no. It's one of the first things that a child will learn, no, rebellion. And so we have to develop that and nurture and teach that. But what the scripture is saying, if we don't make an effort to nurture and teach that, then what we have now done is provoke them to be worse, or provoke them to wrath, to be anger and bitter and vexed and all this later on in life, because we didn't nurture and train. We didn't nurture and admonition. So I can look at my little one-year-old grandbaby, and I can see my nature. I can see her father Adam nature. I can see her father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, nature in her. I can see characteristics of her ancestors in her, and all the good I develop and train and cherish, and all the bad things, I have to try to get all that stuff out. I have to nurture and admonition. No, baby, we can't do that. So when you look at the word provoke here in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 4, and ye fathers, provoke. Don't grieve them. Grieve, vex. Provoke. Don't grieve. Provoke not your children to wrath. How do we do that? But bring them up in the nurturing admonition of Yah. Yah said, I called you as my people, as my children, and I got angry when you disobeyed me. Well, understand that if you're a parent who won't teach, then your child is going to be angry because you didn't teach them. See the association? We associate the anger with Yah, and that Yah is saying, my children won't obey me. Well, when you get on the children's side, you have to understand that the children are angry and bad and vexed and all this. It's because they got parents who won't nurture and admonition this. And at the same time, balance it. Realize, man, I'm having a time changing this little spirit here that I see, and I know it didn't come from me. Well, understand, there may be some things going on in their nature that came when they came. You seen Adam, you seen some bad characteristics of our ancestors, you seen some bad characteristics of the immediate parents. There may be just some characteristics going on that has to be trained. Has to be dealt with. And so we understand that now as we look at the scripture to really have a focus on what this provoking is. We understand it in its scriptural perspective instead of just saying, you can say, Daddy, always picking on me. Well, that's a provoke, but it's not on the perspective of what the scripture's talking about. You know, I may make you a little angry. You know, sometimes I'll play with my girl and they be like, no, Daddy, you're getting on my nerves, and I continue to do it and stuff like that. Be like, Daddy, you're just provoking me. Like, no, I'm not. I'm just picking. I'm being a nag. I provoke you when I'm not teaching you, according to the scriptures. You know, and so, and then one, the youngest one who always complained about me messing with her at times, she gets a divorce about it. She does all kinds of stuff to her niece and nephew. Her niece and nephew, she was always provoking. She didn't try to talk about me. She got that for me, so I just wanted y'all to understand that. So from now on, when you're dealing with children, and you may be wondering why, okay, you know, what is this going on with this child? And okay, we now understand some things. We now understand that there are things that may be, I'm just saying DNA, but I'm saying there are characteristics that come with a child. What a child from their parents, from their ancestors, from, you know, you can look at certain photos of me, I look exactly like my mom's dad. And you can look at photos of me, I look exactly like my dad. It's the strangest thing to look at photos and see me look like my mom's dad and then see me look like exactly like my dad. But when it all comes down to it, we just one big old family anyhow, but, you know, it's just strange to see those things and me take on those characteristics. One thing that I do, and I don't realize that I do it until I watch myself on a video, I chew my tongue a lot, a whole lot, especially when I'm exercising or running or playing sports, anything like that. Whole time I'm chewing on my tongue. Well, I get that from my granddad. He died when I was 4, so I never paid attention to him chewing his tongue. That's something in my character. That's something that is in me by nature that he has had. Now I chew my tongue, my sister do it, my brother do it, you know, on my mom's side. There are a lot of us on my mom's side that chew their tongue. Well, we get that from granddad. And I can't stop doing it if I try. I don't even be aware that I'm doing it a lot of times. And so we have to realize that there are things that that will develop in a child that is just there by their nature. And what we have to do is understand that and try to train it and develop it to the best of our ability. And from us being obedient and doing what God has instructed us to do, to give them the instruction. And I read this as I get ready to close. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to close after reading this scripture. Y'all just told me to read it. Proverbs, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1. I think you started Proverbs 1 and started talking about instructions. But I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I will give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Because this is someone who is following the laws of Yah and is also teaching his son, his children. Okay? "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Verse 3 says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." So he's talking about both of them. Then it says, "He taught me also and said unto me," verse 4, "Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not." That's the nurturing admonition of Ephesians 6. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Okay? It is letting us know. You can go to other scriptures in Proverbs, and it talks about the instructions of a mother, too. Because both of them, both parents are supposed to be teaching the child the nurturing and admonition of Yah concerning the law, statutes, and judgments of the Most High Yah, the scriptures. When we train that child, the scripture says, train up a child. He says, go there. My mind is on free, so I'm going to just be late. Train up a child. Just let you see how easy you can do it with the technology. Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Proverbs 22 and 6. Last one for real this time. It says, train up a child. When you look at the word train up, it means to discipline. It's the same word. Train up, it means to narrow. Meaning when you train them, you don't give them boundaries to do whatever. It's narrow. It means you're giving them a path to go on. Nope, you can't go do this. You can't get out of here. No, you can't get away with that. No, you can't say that. No, you can't do this. There, it means train means to narrow. It means to initiate or to distance. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, when you look at verse 6, after the word go, it's a colon. It means that when he's old, in other words, when we train him, it says no matter what, they will not depart from it. Or if they deter away from it, they're going to always come back to it. Trust me, the nurturing and the admonition that you're doing, it is not going to fall in vain, because the scripture points out that if we do it, no matter what we're dealing with that child, no matter how rebellious they are, no matter how difficult it may be, the scripture promises us the truth that if we do it, it's going to come a day when it's going to click, and they're not going to stay away from it. Or if they go outside of it, they're going to remember that lane, and they're going to get back into that lane. That is a promise to us according to the scripture. So I don't care how straight it looks, I don't care how difficult it is, just keep nurturing and keep training, because I tell you what, it's going to pay off, and one day that child is going to come back and say, "I remember everything you said." You know, Mom used to have to whoop me 10 times just to get one whoop, one good one in. She would tell me, "Do not run." I was going to run, because I'm sorry, I just didn't want to get a whooping. I knew it was going to take all day for me to get that whooping, but I just made up my mind, I don't like whooping. And Mom, I know you're going to whoop me, I know you're going to get me good. You just going to have to do it about 10 times a day. You're going to catch me somewhere, you're going to pop me 2 or 3 good times because I can run, and I'm smart, I see you coming, and I'm going to watch you, and you have to catch me off guard. And when she catch me off guard, she whack me real good. She be like, but I ain't done with you. I know you're going to run, I ain't done with you. I'm going to break you from it sooner or later. And she give me about 10 times, but she got me. But you know what? I didn't forget nothing she taught me. I was that little rebellious by nature. By nature, she didn't put that in me. I just came here that way. And she kept putting that discipline on me, kept putting that discipline on me. I run, she get that rod, she hit me 2 or 3 times. She'd be like, I ain't through because I had a whole bunch more left for it. I'd be like, yeah, you not through, but you're going to have to get me when you can. Sometimes she catch me when I'm asleep. I'm just telling on myself. My sister here, she'll stay in the juice, she'll win it too. Cause I used to jump out on her head sometimes when I was getting a whooping, and she'd get up and laugh about the next morning. Don't know she got something to whoop it too, cause I was jumping out on her, trying to keep from getting a whooping. But I didn't forget. And that discipline during those times when I was that little stubborn, hard-headed boy has developed me to be what I am today. And that nurturing and admonition that mom instilled in me, it worked. And so it is part of the reason, the main reason is the Most High Yah being in my life, but that is part of the reason why I am who I am today, because of the nurturing and the admonition that she done, even though I was that little bad, hard-headed kid that would try to derail the train. Yes, I just try to derail the train. Throw all kinds of stuff on the track. I wanted to see the train come off the track for some strange reason. All my friends did. Used to always put stuff on there. We realized it was bad when the police showed up. Oh, this is really bad, isn't it? One time, matter of fact, we know the police came because we had set the track on fire. we put wood all on the track and set the fire. We just thought it would need to see the train go through it. I'm that kid. So, you know, when you look at what I turn out to be, I think any child got a really good chance when it comes down to look at what I turn out. Right? Our responsibility as a parent is not to provoke that child because we didn't train them. If you love them, you train them. If you don't care nothing about them, don't say nothing to them. Let them turn out to be them little devil. A big devil. But if you love them, keep training them no matter what. And the scripture promises that if we keep training as a parent, that child is not going to depart from it. Eventually, all those principles are going to start manifesting in that child. We provoke that child when we don't train them. That's why you have a lot of kids around here that have grown up to be adults that are angry and bitter and grieved, and nobody understands why in reality. Because this kind of teaching is not going on to put the responsibility where it belongs. No, you never taught the child anything. Now the child is an adult trying to figure out what the heck is going on in life. Okay? Y'all got it? All right. That's all I have. Any questions or comments? You good? Okay, that's all I have. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for just this opportunity to get in the scriptures again, just to get a good understanding of what you have said concerning provoke. We know that now that we provoke our children when we don't nurture and admonition them in you, y'all, teach them your ways, your laws that you suggest. We just glorify you for giving them to us so that we can raise them up and train them to be all that you call them to be. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.